the restoration of the soul, and today we're talking about, the title is, As Your Soul Prospers. As Your Soul Prospers, and I think you know where I'm going with our first scripture. So 3 John, the book of 3 John, there's only one chapter, and so 3 John verse 2. Look at this, we're going to read verses 2 through 4 to begin here. So look at it with me if you would. 3 John, it'd be in your Bible, or look at it on the screen, either one. This is out of the New King James Version. He says, Beloved, that's you and me, praise God. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Praise God. So he says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. Now, that includes financial prosperity, but please don't limit it in your thinking to just financial prosperity. It's in all things. God wants you and I to prosper in all things. You know, that scripture reminds me of a scripture of a statement that God made to Joshua when Joshua took over the leadership of the children of Israel. He said, if you'll meditate in the word day and night, then you'll observe to do according to all that's written in it, and then you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. That meant every area of his life. Amen? And here, God tells us that he wants us to prosper in all things and be in health. God wants you to be healthy. He wants your body to be healthy. He wants your soul to be healthy, your emotions to be healthy. And he wants you to be healthy in your spirit. Amen? Amen? Praise God. He wants us to prosper and be in health. He says, just as your soul prospers. And then he goes into talking about walking in the truth. So we found here that our soul prospering is connected directly to us walking in the truth. Our soul will not prosper if we don't learn to walk in the truth. Or if we don't know how to walk in the truth, our soul can't prosper. So what does it mean to walk in the truth? Well, God's word is truth. Jesus and prayed in John 17, he said, Father, sanctify them through the truth. Your word is truth. So God's word is the truth. There are things that may be true, but are not necessarily truth. You know, facts and things in the world. But what we're talking about here is truth. We're talking about God's word. You know, I just was thinking about that this week. I thought, you know, there's no way that any human being could come up and give us, the revelation just hit me, there is a God. Say, Pastor, we've been knowing that. Well, you know how you know it and then you know it? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Well, it hit me on a deeper level, there is a God, because no human being could come up with a revelation that we find in the Scripture that gives us the value and the worth of a soul, of a human being. Only God could have revealed that to the earth. People can't come up with that. Only a divine being, only God could give us a revelation of how human beings are to treat each other and to conduct ourselves. Why? Because human nature is selfish, isn't it? Human nature is just out for me and what I can get and what I can have. The revelation of God's truth is a radical departure from that.
Yes, it is.
Isn't it? Amen. Only God could have given us His truth. Amen. This word. And so walking in the truth means walking or living by what God's word says. It means believing what God says about you. It means believing who God says you are, what God says you have, and what God says you can do. And then it means acting. He says walking in the truth. Walking denotes action. Amen. He didn't say, I rejoice when I heard that you were talking the truth. What did he say? I rejoice when I heard you were walking in the truth. Well, you got to talk it to walk it for sure, but it's not enough just to talk it. We have to walk it. We have to act it out. Amen? Amen. So being a doer of the word, that's walking in the truth. And when we walk in the truth, then our soul will begin to prosper. And as our soul prospers, then we'll prosper in every area of our life. I want to show you verse 2, this is the English Standard Version. Let's look at it in this version. I think we have that on the screen here. This is the English Standard Version. I like the way it reads it here. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. As it goes well with your soul. So then we could say this, seeing to it then that it goes well with our souls, that our souls are prospering, that will affect every area of our lives. So if you want health, if you want victory in every area of your life, if we want that, what do we have to do? We have to see to it that our souls are prospering. Yes. We have to give some attention to making sure our soul prospers. It's so important. It's something I don't think I've ever seen the value of it as I have right now at this point in my life. And so I really want you to get a hold of it too. So conversely, or the opposite, would be this. When our soul is not right, then there's a negative effect that will go out into every area of our life as well. Let me give you a scriptural example of that. Look with me at Numbers chapter 21. Numbers 21, verse 4. This is when the children of Israel had come, they'd come out of Egypt, and they were coming into it was God's plan that they go into the promised land, but they ended up having to do some wandering, didn't they? Yep. Yeah, I got a revelation this week. That's kind of a catchy, trendy phrase. Well, I'm just a wanderer, you know. Well, I'm a wanderer. The only in the Bible, anybody heard that catchy phrase about wandering, or I'm a wanderer? Not W-O-N, I wonder what happened, but wander. I'm just wandering around. Well, in the Scripture, the only two folks that I saw wandering, the children of Israel, they were in disobedience when they were wandering, and demons. When an unclean spirit is cast out, it wanders about. Yeah. And so don't be a wanderer. Get planted. Amen. Get planted in God. Get planted in His Word. Get planted in a body of believers. Amen. Don't be somebody just wandering around. It says they journeyed from Mount Hor, verse 4. They journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And look at this now. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. The soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. So there's something was not right in their soul. They allowed their souls to get discouraged. They allowed discouragement. They allowed impatience to fill their souls. And look at what happened then. When their soul got discouraged, it says, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Imagine that. When they allowed their souls to get discouraged, they started blaming God for their problems. I know you've never heard anybody do that. I know you've never done that. So this is for the people that will hear the tape, as Miss Patsy said. The people that will hear this message. It's not for any of you in here, I'm sure. You've never spoken against God. You've never blamed God. But they did. They spoke against God and against Moses. And they said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. They were being fed daily by a miracle. Manna from heaven was coming down. They'd wake up in the morning and the ground would be covered with it like dew. And they'd go out and pick it every day. And they said, we're tired of this. You know, you can get tired of the miracles and provision of God if you aren't careful. If your soul is not right, you can get a wrong perspective. Amen. And they said, verse 6, so the Lord sent fiery serpents. We know that He doesn't cause it, but His hand of protection lifted. And these fiery serpents that were out there in the desert, in the wilderness, they begin to come in, and they begin to bite the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Now notice that. Where'd that all start? That started in their soul, didn't it? That started by them allowing their soul to get discouraged, and then they began to give voice to that, and it opened up the door for all kinds of bad things to begin to happen. Just as our soul prospers and it'll go well with us, when our soul is not prospering, it doesn't go so well, does it? Well, thank God. God is good. He provides a remedy. Let's keep reading here. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. You know, like the fellow said, you know, if you find yourself in a hole, the first thing you need to do is what? Yes, stop digging. Quit digging. So thank God they quit digging. They came to Moses and they said, we have sinned. They repented, praise God. We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. And then verse 8, then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. Pastor Brian, I've got me a snake story today. Here it is. Glory to God. It's not as colorful as the one you told the other day, but it'll work. He said, make a fiery serpent out of bronze and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses, next verse says, so Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Now Jesus made a direct reference to that in John chapter 3, verse 14. Look at what Jesus said in John 3, 14 and 15. Jesus said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So when the people, their souls were discouraged, their souls were bitter, they were complaining, that opened up the door to all kinds of calamity and bad things happening. They prayed, they said, God, please save us, deliver us. And God, and through Moses, God made that bronze serpent. Well, it was a type and a shadow that when we cry out to God, and when we say, Lord, I'm in a mess, I need your help, he sent Jesus. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And listen, look this way. In the Old Testament, all they had to do, God said, Moses, make a bronze serpent, put it on a pole, and lift it up. And if the people got bit, and it was a deadly venom in those snakes. They were dying, people that were bitten. He said, if you've been bit, if you'll just look at the bronze serpent on the pole, if you'll look at the remedy, you'll be healed. You'll live. Praise God. All we have to do is look at the remedy. That remedy is Jesus. Amen. We have to continue to lift up the remedy in our lives. As Moses lifted up the serpent, hallelujah, lift up the remedy. When you're bitten, amen, When you encounter trouble, look at the remedy. Keep your eyes on the remedy. Hallelujah. Whoever would gaze, and that look, when it says look, it was not like taking a quick glance. It was like this. A gaze. Gaze at the remedy. Gaze at the answer. Turn away from the problem. Turn away from your own sin and mistake and failure, your sickness, whatever it may be, and gaze at the remedy. Jesus. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. So God has made provision. God has made provision for our souls to prosper. He's made provision for our souls to prosper. Number one, God provides restoration for our souls. Hallelujah. He said, Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Well, he's made a provision for that to happen. He restores our soul. Psalm 23, verse 3 is the scripture. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. And again, I want to reference just briefly, I want to reference a couple of quotes out of Dr. Rutland's book, 21 Seconds on the restoration of the soul. The soul is the psychological self, the inner bank of emotion and thought and memory. When all that is damaged by life, including and especially self-inflicted wounds. Anybody ever had any self-inflicted wounds in your soul? Yes. The process of restoration can be long, slow, and very nearly as painful as the wound. In fact, the wound, no matter how horrible, is an event. The healing is always a process. Even if a miracle is received, there is still a process in every healing, especially inner healing. David said, He restoreth my soul. He forgives us and, according to the Lord's Prayer, summons us to forgive others. That is the essential key to all soul restoration. We're going to revisit that at the end of the message today, but I want you to hold that in your thinking. He forgives us, and according to the Lord's Prayer, He summons us to forgive others. That is the essential key to all soul restoration, receiving God's forgiveness and granting forgiveness. That's so important. That's so important. He also calms us, comforts us, and gives us peace. Charles Wesley said, There's a young lady that Robin knows. She's brought her to church here a few times. She met her in the clinic at the school, Abby Wesley. She's the great-great-great-great-great-granddaughter of Charles Wesley. Wow. How about that? Charles Wesley said, "He calms our fears and bids our sorrows cease." He was a great hymn writer. John, of course, was the preacher and the theologian. Charles was the worship leader. Praise God. Wrote the music. That's soul restoration. Like a soothing balm, he massages his holy ointment into all the dry, cracked wounds and abscessed sores that leak a dark and deadly poison into our inner selves. Others, life, history, and I myself conspire to ruin my soul. Anybody ever done that?
Yes.
Haven't we all? We conspire to ruin our souls as allies of destruction. God needs no allies to restore it. He restoreth my soul.
Amen.
I wonder how many thousands of times now I have said that simple phrase, repeating it over and over again, believing God for it to be true for me. Not just that He restores souls, not just some souls somewhere, but mine. David testified that God restored his soul. I needed to know that truth experientially for myself. He restores my soul. How marvelous it was to discover, crawling along the lonely corridors of pain, that He really does restore souls, even mine. He restored my soul. If God could restore David's soul over and over again, I might add, I believed He could restore mine, and He did. If He could restore mine, He could restore anyone's. Amen? So He restores our soul. He restores our soul. And then number two, He gives rest. He gives rest to our souls. Somewhere here in my notes, I don't know where that page went, but He gives rest to our souls. Amen? There it is. Hallelujah. He provides rest for our souls. Look at this verse, Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. Look at this. These are the words of Jesus. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you more burdens." I'll give you a greater yoke to have to bear. No, what Jesus said would happen when we came to Him? Oh, praise God. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find" what?
Rest
for your souls. Rest for your souls. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Hallelujah. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." It's such a struggle to serve the Lord. But no, Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen? We just have to learn to work with Him. You know, I've used this illustration before. You ever have like a tool that you've never used it before, you don't know quite exactly how to use it, and you try to use the thing and you just wear yourself out, then somebody comes along and says, "Well, here's how you're supposed to do that," and it's so easy when you learn the method. It's so easy. "Well, I was trying to hold it like..." You can't. No, don't hold it like that. Do it like this. Let the tool do the work. Amen. That's what it is. That's what it is to be yoked up to Jesus. Let Him do the work. Yes, we have a part to play. Yes, we have to yield to Him. Yes, we have to cooperate with Him. He said, "My yoke is easy. My burden is light." And He said, "You'll find rest for your soul." I want to read you something. This is from Pastor Greg Moore. Actually, Brother Brian shared this article with me. It's from Brother Tony Cook's website. But he says this: "Your soul must rest in order to prosper, just like your body needs to rest in order to be in good health." You know, we can pray and believe for healing, but unless we get the proper amount of rest and nutrition and all that, we're going to be fighting an uphill battle. There's a plug for the wellness seminar, or whatever we're calling it, in a couple of weeks here. But that's true, isn't it?
Yes.
Amen? So yet oftentimes you and I are not allowing our souls to be at rest. When we allow our souls to become weighted down with pressures, stress, anxiety, and cares, we are not in a place of rest. An unrestful soul is an unprosperous soul. Isn't that right? Let me say that again. An unrestful soul is an unprosperous soul. This kind of soul works so hard that it prevents the body from resting, which leads to burnout. You ever had that happen? You lay down to try to rest physically, but your mind is going 1,000 miles an hour, and you're thinking about all you've got to do, or you're thinking about this problem or that problem. See, your body can't fully rest if your soul... We're connected, folks. We separate them to talk about them, spirit, soul, and body, but we're all... It's all intermingled in there. Amen? So, he says, this kind of soul works so hard that it prevents the body from resting, which leads to burnout, exhaustion, depression, and physical problems. The antidote to this is coming to Jesus daily and casting your cares over on Him, or what He told me to do at the beginning of the year. Just worship Me every day. I can't tell you what peace and what rest that's brought to my life is just taking some time every day just to worship Him. Just to worship Him. Hallelujah. I release my cares to Him. I release my worries to Him. And I just say, Jesus, You are worthy to be worshipped. Father, You are worthy. And I'll sing a song to Him and just worship Him. Man, that peace comes. Hallelujah. Jesus is telling us in His Word a primary cause of people failing to find rest for their souls is due to taking yokes and burdens on themselves that are not from Him. We've all done that, haven't we? People often make commitments to others because of fear they will not be accepted, liked, or approved by them. This is the fear of man that results in a soul not being at rest. Engaging in activities and taking on responsibilities initiated by man instead of the Holy Spirit is a recipe for failure. That's a good word, isn't it? It creates an unrestful soul. Failure to remedy this emotional condition will typically result in people becoming worn out, frustrated, and quitting everything, including the things the Lord did lead them to do. If you want your soul to rest and prosper, you must come to Jesus and find out what things He has assigned to you. That is the only burden He expects you to carry. Amen. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. He does not put heavy loads on you. Does He give you responsibility? Yes, because you're to carry out His mission, but it's not burdensome, exhausting, or overwhelming. If it's burdensome or heavy, it is not Jesus. Somebody say glory. Glory. Hallelujah. This is setting us free today, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful? Amen. The Greek word for rest is anapausis, which means a pause, intermission, refresh. Remember, what was it? Was it Pepsi or Coke? The slogan was, the pause that refreshes. Which was that? Does anybody remember? You got to be pretty old to know that. Was it Pepsi? I'm going to have to go back and find that now. Somebody Google it. Not right now, please. Stay in it. Stay. Okay. But the pause that refreshes. Okay, so that's what the Greek word for rest means. It's anapausis, and it means a pause, an intermission. It means refresh, or to take ease. Now, get this. Many people turn to hobbies or some form of entertainment when things become stressful. This is rest and an intermission to them. It is a way for them to retreat and escape the pressures of life. And now we're not preaching against this. He says, while there's nothing wrong with physical entertainment and fun, it will never bring complete rest. So it's fine to have a hobby. It's fine to have a diversion. You know, those things are fine. And all that, but it won't bring complete rest. Now, here's another thing, though, that we have to address. A lot of times, people we engage in things that are not healthy, and that are not what we would say legitimate forms of escape or diversions, don't we? That would include drugs. That would include pornography. That would include all kinds of things that people are. The bottom line is, we're using these things as an escape from the pain that's in our soul. Aren't we? I mean, that's the bottom line. That's why we fall into those things. So we're trying to escape that pressure and that pain. We're trying to find rest somewhere. We're trying to find an escape from that pressure. But God gives us the remedy. Amen. And there's no harmful side effects from doing it His way. And that's the good news. Amen. So these things, it says, at best it's a temporary relief. True rest can only be found in the presence of Jesus, here in Your presence. As we sang today, here in Your presence. You can only receive ease, refreshing, and intermission for your soul by coming to Jesus and leaving the stress, worries, and pressures behind. Each of us needs to find peace inside our relationship. Get this, this is so good. Each of us needs to find peace inside our relationship with Jesus while things in our world are unresolved or less than perfect. You can't wait till everything in your world is perfect to say, okay, now I can rest. In the midst of your world being in chaos, and your world being less than perfect, things going on that you wish were different in your world and in your life and in your sphere, we thank God we can still come to Jesus. And He says, come to me. And when you labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Yes. Glory to God. Right in the midst of all that, right in the midst of it, He'll give you rest. Oh, thank God. What a God. What a God. Hallelujah. This can be difficult when the bills, pressures, housework, and other responsibilities are piling up in your life. Your natural mind desires to take over and work even harder to get it all done. The better thing to do when facing these kinds of challenges is to take an anapausis and rest in the presence of Jesus. It is there you'll be able to refocus, receive God's perspective, and find both wisdom and peace that will bring rest and refreshing to your soul. I ran across this verse this past week. I want to share it. It fits in here with right here with what we're talking about. Psalm 94, verse 19. Look at this with me. Look at this. This is beautiful. Psalm 94, 19. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. Amen. Do you know that God has comforts available for us? That in the multitude of our anxieties within us, He says, your comforts delight my soul. Woo! Isn't that good? Tap into Him and get those comforts. Now, the word comfort there stood out to me when I read that. I thought, wait a minute. I've heard somebody talk something about comfort before. I believe it was Jesus, and I believe He was talking about the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? Didn't Jesus say that the Holy Spirit was our comforter? And I'll pray the Father, and He'll give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Hallelujah. He's our comforter, praise God. Now, here's something interesting. Look at Isaiah 28. Now don't let this slip by you this morning. Isaiah 28:11, we're going to read 11 and 12, but then this is also the Apostle Paul references Isaiah 28:11 in 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 21, when he's talking about speaking in tongues. And he's talking about the benefits and the use of speaking in other tongues. And he reaches back into Isaiah, and he says, for in the law it is written, and he quotes this right here, for with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to this people. Now look at the next verse, verse 12. To whom he said, this is the rest, with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But we're going to hear it this morning. Right. We're going to get a hold of it this morning, aren't we? Yes, we are. Amen. He said, with stammering lips and with another tongue, I'll speak to this people. And he said, this is the rest, and this is the refreshing. Do you know that one of the benefits and one of the reasons that we should pray in other tongues is because it brings that rest and refreshing? Man, your mind is going and you don't know what to pray or how to pray about that situation. And you say, Father, I don't know what to pray about this. This thing is troubling me. This situation, this issue is troubling me. But I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit to help me pray. And you begin to pray in other tongues. You begin to pray in the Spirit. And when we pray in the Spirit, the Bible says our mind is unfruitful. Your mind will begin to grow quiet. And the rest of God will begin to come in. And oftentimes, if you really learn to exercise this and do it, oftentimes while you're praying, the answer, what you need to do, will just start rising up on the inside of you. Oh, okay, here's the answer. Here's the word. So many times, as I've done this, the Holy Spirit has given me just a phrase, a lot of times a portion of Scripture. Just do this. Do this. Just a phrase. One that He gave me. Love never fails. Love never, during one of these times, love never fails. Hallelujah. That'll keep you going for a long time right there. Amen? Praise God. So let's tap into that. God designed praying in tongues to be a way to access this rest and refreshing. Hallelujah. It gets you, praying in tongues gets you out of the mental realm. That's where all that anxiety and I got to fix this. It causes you to bypass that. Yes, we're to use our mind, but our mind is limited. Thank God we're not limited to what our mind knows and what our mind can do. There are spiritual battles and there are things, spiritual things that we need to deal with and overcome that our minds are not equipped to deal with. Now, this is revelation right here. I didn't plan on saying this, but this is the Holy Ghost. There are things that your mind is just not equipped to deal with. But thank God we're not limited to what our mind knows. And Mike, praying in the Holy Ghost is going to help you in this new business. You just pray it out and you're going to see it flourish. That's the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Because our mind is limited. But thank God, the Holy Ghost in us is not limited. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Finally this morning, God provides, He restores our soul. He gives us rest and then for our souls. And then thirdly, He provides an anchor. An anchor. And we sang about it this morning. Hallelujah. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone. Weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord. Lord of all. Hebrews 6, verse 15. Look at this with me. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 15. I think I'll open my Bible now, finally. We've been in the Bible, certainly, in the Scripture, but I just hadn't had to open mine yet. I've had it either on the notes or on the screen, and it'll be on the screen, but I'm going to read it out of my Bible. In verse 15, it says, I was kind of picking it up in the middle of a thought here. He's talking about Abraham and God's promise to Abraham. In verse 15 says, and so after Abraham had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. After he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. God ever given you a promise? Have you ever had to wait for it? That's the hard part, isn't it? That's the hard part. Amen? As Brother Jerry Savelle says, between the amen and the there it is. When you pray the prayer of faith and you say, amen, I believe I receive, and the there it is, you know, it being manifested. That period of time in there, that can be a difficult time. It can be a testing time. It can be a time when you're tempted to give up. It can be a time when storms come against you, when thoughts come against your mind saying it's not working. You might as well give up. That's what the devil is telling Abraham. Who do you think you are? You're 99 years old. Sarah's 90. You can't have a child. You can't have a baby. She can't get pregnant. It's not going to work. You're not going to be the father of a multitude. Give up, give up, give up. And so, though it says after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. They had Isaac, didn't they? For men, indeed, verse 16, for men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly, I love that. This is kind of wordy right here, so we're going to untangle a little bit. Look what it says here. God, determining to show more abundantly. God was determined to show us something and make it so clear when He says He was determined to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's you He's talking about. The immutability of His counsel. Now, in the margin of my Bible, it says the unchangeableness of His purpose. God's purpose for your life does not change. Glory to God. As I said, that's what He says to the nursery worker. When she says, Lord, please help me with these babies. And He says, I am the Lord, I change not. His purpose, He will help you if you serve in the nursery, though. So don't back away from serving in the nursery. Amen. The unchangeableness, the immutability of His counsel, the unchangeableness of His purpose. He says, I'm determined that my people know that my purpose will not change. I'm determined that my people know that I'm for them and that I'm with them and I'll bring them through and I want them to know that and I'll not change on that. It says He confirmed it. He gave the promise and He confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things, unchangeable things, in which, verse 18, it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. God's promise to us, God's word to us, the fact that His word, listen, this is not going to change. Your circumstances may shift and change, but you can come back to this and it will never change. And you can bring this to God and He'll say, "Oops, I'm not doing that anymore." He'll never say that. He'll never say that. His word, Jesus, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is as sure today as it ever was, and it always will be throughout eternity. Heaven and earth may pass away, Jesus said, but my words will never pass away. Hallelujah. The unchangeableness of His purpose. He says, and we have His word, and it gives us strong consolation when we lay hold of the hope that's set before us. Hallelujah. Now look at what He says in verse 19. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Hallelujah. The hope that He gives us is an anchor for our soul. You know, it's like a ship being tossed in the storm. The circumstances come against you like waves, like the winds and the waves beating on the ship, telling you it'll never happen. It's getting worse. Your situation is getting worse, not better. It's not going to happen. And we can be like a ship being tossed by the wind. What do? We throw out the anchor of hope. And the waves may come and the wind may come, but we're anchored. We're not moving. We're not moving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And eventually the devil has to give up. Hallelujah. And the promise is fulfilled. And God's word comes to pass. And the prayer is answered. Hallelujah. Amen? Let's read it out of the New Living Translation. He says, so verse 18. So God has given both His promise and His oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to Him for refuge can have great confidence. Everybody say great confidence. We can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Hallelujah. Amen? Praise God. Now, along with that, he talks about hope being that anchor. So don't ever let go of hope. In years past, hope got a bad rap because, you know, people would say, I hope so. Well, that's not Bible hope. You know, some with a defeated tone in their voice, they say, "Well, I sure hope so." That's not hope. That's not the kind of hope we're talking about here. The hope, the Bible definition of hope is this: a confident and favorable expectation. Something good is about to happen to me. Amen. Hallelujah. That's Bible hope. It's a confident, favorable expectation. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So that's what we hold on to. Now, Look at this with me. Psalm 43, verse 5. This is out of the English Standard Version. You need to learn to talk to your soul. Amen. You know you can talk to your own soul. It's scriptural to talk to yourself. Amen. Talk to your soul. Listen what David did. David, the one that gave us Psalm 23, David, the one that said, "He restores my soul," also said this. He says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" So talk to yourself. Your soul is cast down. Talk to it. Why are you cast down, soul? The Bible says in other places, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Here's one of the places where he did it. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Your soul ever been in turmoil within you? Talk to it. Talk to it. What do I tell it? Tell it what David said to tell it. Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. Talk to your soul. Tell your soul, hope in God. Hope in God. Hope in God. Hallelujah. Here's another thing to tell your soul. Tell your soul, soul, bless the Lord. You know that's in the Bible? Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Tell your soul to bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Amen. You get your soul blessing the Lord. You get your soul remembering all His benefits. All of a sudden, hope returns. All of a sudden, that anchor begins to hold. Hallelujah. Forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. Woo! Hallelujah. That's for you. Amen. Amen. Say, that's mine. Hallelujah. Say, bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And forget not all his benefits. You forgive all my iniquities. You heal all my diseases. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I wish above all things, he said, I pray that all things that your soul, that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. My soul will prosper. Your soul will prosper. How? Because he restores my soul. Because he gives rest to my soul. And because his word is a hope and an anchor for my soul. Hallelujah.